Right. Okay, so this week it's Parshas Vayera, and Vayera is a very special Parsha for me, because it's the first piece of Torah I remember learning when I was a little boy in school, 4 years old. So the beginning of Vayera, which we don't have in front of us, is where God appeared to Abraham, and he was sitting at the entrance of his tent, and then there came three visitors, right, who are actually three angels. And they come and tell Sarah, they tell him and Sarah, that Sarah's going to have a baby in a year's time, which was very striking because she was 90 years old and Abraham was 99. So that's one aspect of the whole image in the Midrash and in Talmudic literature about the hospitality of Abraham and Sarah. And at the beginning of the Seder, you see how they rush around preparing food for these guests. So this idea of hospitality, the Midrash even says that Abraham and Sarah had a tent, and that tent had four windows so that they would be able to see any guest who was coming from whichever direction, and they would be able to rush out and greet the guest and persuade him to come inside and enjoy their hospitality. Now, later on in the Seder, there's a verse that we have about Abraham, and it's on this verse that this discourse, which was said in 1987, takes as its trigger, as we understand that the Maimer, the Hasidic discourse, always takes some kind of stepping stone from which it emerges into that whole realm. And so it's the last line on the last verse on this page. And it's talking about Abraham. Vayita Eshel Beber Shova. Abraham, well, how do you translate this? You look at what the translator writes here. He planted a tamarisk tree in Be'er Sheva. Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem. And he called there on the name of God, Kael Olam, the God of the universe. Vayoga Avram be'eretz Plishtim, and Abraham lived in the land of Plishtim, Yomim Rabim, for a long time. Now this, what does he call it? Tamarisk tree. If you look at the footnotes, he just gives a little bit more information about the tamarisk. However, what the Midrash says, the footnote extends under the Hebrew. In the Talmud, however, do you see that footnote by the translator? In the Talmud, however, the Eshel is identified as an orchard or an inn for wayfarers. Inn for wayfarers. And in fact, the word Eshel, which has become quite famous. You can read script?
Yeah.
So there we have achila, eating, shtia, drinking, lina, somewhere to sleep. That makes the word eshel. So the word eshel is given those, it's made into that acrostic, eating, drinking, and somewhere to sleep. And so it's now a word in Hebrew, eshel. I don't know how much it is in like standard Ivrit, but it's there in sort of Lashon Kodesh. Is it part of standard Ivrit? Yeah. Okay, Nicole says it. So this concept of Eshel, so this word which could be translated as a particular kind of tree, even if it's a tree. You see, it's a tree under which people are able to sit. It's a comfortable place. And then Abraham is able to bring food to guests. So this, so then comes the question of how the beginning of this verse, Abraham planted this tree, which is really an inn, in Beersheba. And he called there on the name of God, the God of the universe. So the question is, it seems rather a non sequitur. How does the inn relate to the calling on God? So that's going to be the theme of the discourse that we're going to try to explore together.
If you take the third letter along, it comes again.
Sorry, if you take...
Going down, like you did Eshel, Aleph, Shin, Lamed.
Right.
Go from the top.
Oh, and if you take the third letter, Yod, Nun, that's good.
Eating, drinking, and sleeping.
That's pretty good.
Does Keti mean anything?
Does what?
Top,
Yod. Oh.
Don't know if it means something.
Not that I know. And all the letters at the end are he. Interesting, they're all... Oh, well, there's...
Not exactly.
You know, this one's got more. All right, fun with words. So now we're looking at the discourse, and we have the melody of the discourse. Yamba, 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 yo, ya, yo, ya, ya, yamba, da, yambo, bo. Yamba, yamba, ya, ya, yomba, dom. Ha, ya, da, damba, ya, ya, da, damba, yo. Ha, ho, ya, ya, da, damba, ya, ya, yom. Hayiridamba yamba yom, hayiridamba, hayiridamba, ho, yamba damba, yiridamba, ho, ma yamba, yiridamba, ho, yamba, ho, yamba, boom. Vayita eshel bebeersheba. He planted a eshel, a tamarisk, or an inn, a tree for an inn, in Beersheba. And he called down the name of God, Kael Olam, the God of the universe. And in the discourse, which begins with these same words, Vayita Eshel, he planted this tree, which was said on Shabbat Parshat Vayera, Tof Reish Tzadik Ches. That's 1937. Lifnei Chamishim Shana, 50 years before this discourse was said. So it was said in 1937 by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe. So it's the 7th Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel, commenting on a discourse said by his predecessor, the 6th Rebbe. And it says there in that discourse, that Tzarich Lahavin, one has to understand HaKesher, the connection bein shnei ha'inyanim, between these two concepts. Sha'al yidei netiyat ha'eshel, through the planting of this tree, or the making of this restaurant, al yidei zeh, through that, vayikcha sham b'shem Hashem keil olam, through that he called on the name of God, the God of the universe. Umevi al zeh. Alright, so that's a simple question. How does the verse fit together? You can always ask, you know, why and how. There are innumerable questions that you can ask when you're looking at a verse from the Torah. And the sages do ask, and that's the way they generate all kinds of fascinating concepts which are expressed in the Talmud and the Midrash and in Hasidic teachings. So, umevi alze. And he quotes from this, for this, about this. Masha amru rabotenu zal, what our sages say, al tikra vayikra eila vayakhi. Don't read the word he called, but read it with an extra yud in the word, which changes the effect of the word, that instead of it being him calling, it means he's causing other people to call. In Hebrew you have the hifil, that the hifil is the causative, and you can take the same three letter root and you put it into the hifil, and instead of doing it, it means you make other people do it. And the Midrash tells us, actually the Talmud tells us in Parshat Sotah, it says in footnote 2, and so the Talmud tells us, that means that Abraham managed to make God's name be called b'fi kol oveh v'shav, in the mouth of every passing person. So, in other words, somehow or other, people came to his inn, to his restaurant there in the desert, and he got them to recognize God while they were there in the inn. It was really an outreach concept, and it was a way of getting them to recognize the concept of one God. Ketzad, how did this work? La'acha she'achlu v'shatu. After they'd eaten and drunk, amdu levarachel. They very politely got up to bless him. They wanted to thank him. Thank you so much, Abraham and Sarah. It was such wonderful food, so nice, tasty. Amar lehem, he said to them, v'chi meshaliach altem? Did you eat my food? V'halo mishem elokei olam achaltem? You actually ate from the food belonging to the God of the universe. The food I have belongs to God. Hodu v'shibchu, bless God. Uvarchu l'mi she'ama v'haya ha'olam. Bless that one God who spoke and the world came into being. So immediately began a whole discussion. What? The world came into being through God. Yes, there's one God, the creator of the universe. He spoke and the world came into being. And there's a whole discussion backwards and forwards. And so they come to appreciate that there is God. Now, I forgot to bring it with. I made a mental note to bring it with, but I forgot. There's actually a book called Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation.
We've got that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, can you locate it? Having it and locating are two different things.
Carl probably knows where it is, but I'm not sure. I think it's a sort of bluish book. Right here.
Well done. Fantastic. Lovely. Aria Kaplan. Excellent. Okay, so here you have, I mean, this book is a lot thicker than the simple Hebrew version. But here we have Aria Kaplan's book, Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation, in theory and practice. Have a look, Maureen. Now, the essential part of that book, which really, if you had it in Hebrew, it's really only a few pages long, a Hebrew text. But that is that it's attributed to Abraham. And it's a book about the nature of existence, the way in which, through spiritual means, through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, through the 10 sefirot, God creates the world. And then it speaks about different aspects of these letters and different qualities and relates it to various other concepts. So it's a very interesting work. And the tradition about it is that it's attributed to Avraham Avinu, to Abraham. So in other words, Abraham had material that he could discuss with these people who were visiting his tavern, his restaurant in the desert. And so there could be a whole discussion about how God created the world, and there's one unifying God, one force, all these other idols are nothing. And as a result, he would persuade people to bless God, to thank God for the food that they were eating. It's interesting. I mean, that's one of the commands in the Torah, that when we eat and we're satisfied, we should, in other words, we eat more than a certain minimal amount, we should bless God. And so there are blessings before food, which are from the sages, and blessings after food, which are from the Torah. And so there is the tradition that Abram himself kept the whole Torah, even though it hadn't yet been given on Mount Sinai. But he understood through the Divine Spirit what the Torah is, and this essential concept of the Torah, recognizing God the Creator as being the source of everything we have. That if we have food or money or whatever it might be, how come we have it? Yes, we worked for it and so on, and we worked very hard to grow the food and to prepare it, but nonetheless, ultimately, it's from God, and recognizing that is an important point in the relationship of a person with God. So that's what he said to them, and that brings us in the Dvar Malchut of this week to line 11. V'zeo akesher ben shnei anyanim. That's the connection between the two concepts. The al yedei ha'eshel shehu apunduk. Through this tree or eshel, whatever eshel actually means, which is here being translated as a punduk, which means a tavern, a restaurant, or an inn. I mean, an inn. Ubefrat lefi, and especially since haroshit tevot shemevi b'mayma, the acrostic that are cited by the sixth Rebbe in his discourse, the eshel, that eshel comes to roshit tevot, to the initial letters, as we've got over here, achila shtiya, oh, levaya. That's a different roshit tevot. Eating, drinking, and accompanying. Not levia, not lina, which I'd written, although it's sometimes expressed in that way, but a different one, levia. Now, levia means accompanying, and your role as a host is not supposed to be complete until you, when your guest is going, you go out with them and you walk a little bit of the way. You know, how far you should walk depends on what kind of guest, you know, but at least something, at least seeing them to the door and maybe to the garden gates and maybe a little way into the street, or seeing them into their car or whatever, or their camel. But just that little bit of accompanying, making the person feel that you are not just happy to get rid of them, but that you actually care about it. So achila, shtiya, and leviya. So al yedei. So the discourse brings this this acrostic al yedei zeh, and through this restaurant structure, hikri l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'fi kol ove b'shav. He made every passerby who came into his restaurant, he made them call on the name of God. And that's what it means. He called there on the name of God. In other words, he made others call, Kel Olam, God of the universe. Now there's one point that needs mentioning over here. What does it mean? Don't read it this way, but read it that way. You've got the biblical text. And the biblical text, basically, it's consonants without vowels. And so there are many words that could be written in two different ways, or several different ways. So you have the sages say, read the word slightly differently. And sometimes it's not only a difference of a vowel, it's some difference, a further difference as well. For example, there's a phrase in the Torah, "Ba'atam chayet kulam," you give life to all of them. And so there's a comment on that. Don't read it "mechaye," but Mahava. Don't read it Mechaya. You see, Mechaya is like this. Mem, Chet, Yud, and He. And they say, don't read it Mechaya, give life, but Mahava, give existence. So they're replacing the Chet with the He. Now, and the Yud with the Vav. So there's a slight change. And the rabbis somehow in the ancient past, in the Talmudic age and in the Midrash as well, and to some extent in Kabbalistic writings, have this sort of latitude in relation to the biblical text. I heard a beautiful explanation about this with Adam and Eve. It says that God made for them clothes of skin, which was kotnot, that's clothes of, or, now ayin vav resh is skin. And Rabbi Meir had a Torah scroll in which was written not clothes of skin, but kotnot or with an aleph, which makes the word light. Clothes of light. So originally they had clothes of light. They had radiant clothes. Then when they sinned with the tree of knowledge, the light disappeared or something like that, and they realized they were naked. So God gave them clothes of skin. So there's those two aspects of this word. And so you have throughout the Torah, you have this possibility of a change of a consonant, even a change of a vowel, or change of a consonant, and some new dimension. Some new dimension opens up, and so we have over here that it's, don't read it that he called himself on the name of God, but he made others call on the name of God. Okay. Now this, basically what we've read so far, is a little passage. It's really a little passage in the Talmud explaining this concept of this restaurant that Abraham and Sarah had. Omnom, however, adayin tzarich lahavin, we still have to understand, k'mosh medayik b'bayma, as it discusses in the discourse, dahari pirsuma elokut, this publicizing of godliness, al yedei achnasat orchim shelo, through his hospitality, haya al yedei, it came about through the fact shehisbir lahem, he explained to them shemelokei olam achaltem, that you have eaten from the God of the universe. Ve'inyan misha amar v'haya olam, and it explains the idea of God speaking and bringing the world into being. Dahainu, that means klalut inyan abriya. He's explaining to them the idea of creation, shehi b'cheka bore, which is in the power of the Creator. Okay, that's perfectly reasonable. He's talking about the creation, God as Creator. That's what he's explaining to them. Indeed, that's part of that's basically the theme of his book, Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. It all fits very nicely. Now, what question could be asked over here? The Rebbe has a question. The imkein, and if so, mao shekatov, why is it written, vayikha sham b'shem yudke vavke? He called on the name of God, and the name of God is the tetragrammaton. Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, the name of God with four letters. That's the very, very ethereal name which we're not allowed to say. Now, why shouldn't he say this? V'hare b'vriyat ha'olam, when it's speaking in the Torah about the creation of the world, Nema Shem Elokim, it uses the name Elokim. It doesn't say Yudke Vavke. It doesn't say Bereshit Bara. At the beginning, Yudke Vavke created. It says Bereshit Bara Elokim. At the beginning, Elokim created. So we're talking here about different divine names. And the important issue here is the difference between the name Elohim and the name Yudke Vavke. So it's the name Elohim which creates the world. That's God the Creator, right? In fact, as we've discussed a number of times, the name Elohim has the numerical value. Aleph is 1, and Lamed is 30, and Hey, I've written the Kuf, but it's really Hey. Hey is 5, and Yud is 10, and Mem is 40. So all that adds up to 50, 55, 85, 86 equals 86. And Hateva, nature, is 70, and 2 and 9 and 5 is also 86. So nature also equals 86. So Elohim is the name for God as the creator of nature, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything there is. On the other hand, Yudke Vavke, I'll write that with a Dalet instead of a Hey. Yud Dalet Vav Dalet. Is a higher level of name. It's something beyond. That's why we're allowed to say the name Elohim when we're praying. And the name Yudke Vavke we're never allowed to say. We have to say a different word instead. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You got that? When we say a blessing. So the blessing's written Yudke Vavke. It's sometimes written just two Yuds instead of that. But it means that. And we don't say that. We read it as if it said the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So why does it say Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem? He made people call the name Yudke Vavke, when actually what he's explaining to them is the name Elohim, the concept Elohim, God as creator. Right? You have the, you understand the question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. V'hari bebriyat ha'olam, behold, three lines from the bottom here. When the world was created, Ne'ma Sham Elohim, it says the name, Ne'ma Shem Elohim, it says, it uses the name Elohim. K'mo shekatuv, as it's written, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created. U'lechora hayal olama, so it should have said in our verse, V'yikcha Sham b'shem Elohim. He made people call on the name Elohim. V'lama maskir shem Yudke Vavke, why does it use the name Yudke Vavke? Okay, so it's kind of the whole issue of names of God, and the meaning of specific names of God, and why one name of God is used rather than another. Now, these are concepts very often lost in the English translation. The English translation has very few names, very few words for God. What they sometimes do is they write God for Elohim and the Lord for Yudke Vavke. You know, that's one of the conventions to explain, as it were, the difference between these names. But this is very much part of Talmudic and Midrashic, the rabbinic thought in general, and particularly in the Kabbalah, it's focused on. There's the idea of one name being a name of mercy, another name being the name of severity. There's quite a number of ways in which they're looked at. Here, the image that's being given is of Elohim as relating to creation, and Yudke Vavke is basically above that. It's on a higher level beyond creation. Okay, so on the next page now, Vav. V'diyuk zehu gam ba'atchalat ha'pasuk. Now this point is also at the very beginning of the verse. V'yita eshel b've'er sheva. He planted this tree or this restaurant. See, you could use the word vayita as in terms of setting up a tent. Although it means planting, like planting a tree, it's also used for setting up a tent. And so you could think of the Eshel as a big tent that he's put up as a kind of restaurant there. Now, what is it telling us? He planted this Eshel, or he set up this tent in Be'er Sheva. Now, Be'er Sheva is a town, right? I remember it as a very dusty town. you know, the northern side, the northern end of the Negev desert, and somehow it's got a very desert, my memory of it many years ago is of a very desert feel to it, sandy. Of course, the Ben Gurion University is there now, so I don't know if that's a friend of mine teaches there, but
Didn't take up that much sand.
Now, Be'er Sheva, what does the word Be'er Sheva mean as the name of a town?
Seven wells.
Yeah, seven wells. Or the seventh well. It's certainly the number seven. And that's what it's focusing on here. The fact that it's called Be'er Sheva, the seventh well, or seven wells, the fact that that occurs in this verse where he's setting up this restaurant in order to communicate the nature of God, the number seven is telling us something about what aspect of God he's communicating. The Mispah Sheva Moreh al Sheva Midot. The number seven indicates the seven divine attributes. Kamavu Shom Badrushim. As is explained also in discourses which discuss ala pasuk on the verse vayiyu chayei Sara, the life of Sara was, that's in next week's sedra, mea shana, 100 years, ve'eshrim shana, and 20 years, ve'sheva shanim, and 7 years. So Sara lived 127 years. However, it puts the 100 and the 20 and the 7 in separate numbers. You see, it puts the word Shana after each word. She lived 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. It could have said, Meya ve'eshrim v'sheva Shana, 127, and then the word years. But it's put it individually. It's using, it's adding in the word year each time. So that's like emphasizing 127. So the way this is explained, actually in the commentary on the margin over here, that we can talk about, if you want to look at that, there's a little number 20. Number 20 here, to the commentary. And it says there, Mea Shana, 100 years. Hamispa Mea, the number 100, Morel Bechinot Elyonot, expresses something very exalted. Shehem Shoresh Eser Sfirot, which are the root of the 10 Sfirot, Kafi Shekol Echad Klula Mikol Eser. The way that each Sfira includes all the 10, there are 10 Sfirot, and there's a sense in which each 10 includes all 10, so that means when you look at the Sfirot in that exalted way, 10 times 10 is 100, you're looking at the root of the Sfirot beyond, looking at some very exalted dimension. Eshrim Shana, 20 years. Hamispa Eshrim Moreh al Chochma Abina. That indicates wisdom and understanding. Then comes the 7, the number 7. 7 represents the 7 Midot, the 7 emotional attributes, which are, if you put it in initial letters, Chagat Nahim. Chesed Gvura Tiferet, Netzach Hod Yesod Malchut. Those are the seven Sfirot. You can think of them as 7 Sfirot coming down from this higher level, wisdom and understanding, and above that it's 100, which is the root. It's a musical chant. So there's the 100, which is the infinite beyond. Then there's the 20, which is wisdom and understanding. And then come the 7, Svirot, coming down, kindness, severity, beauty or mercy, victory, submission, dedication, kingship. So those are the 7 emotional Svirot. This is why in a Hasidic wedding, when the bride comes up to the groom under the wedding canopy, she walks round him 7 times, as if she is binding herself to him and him to her through these 7 emotional attributes. They are bonding together. So, now these 7 emotional attributes, they correspond to the 7 days of creation. So the fact that it's Be'er Sheva with the number 7, where he set this restaurant up, it's like another hint to the whole concept of creation, Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. The whole theme is one of creation, right? So, Shehem, if we go back into the discourse, on line 4 of the discourse, on this page above, Shehem Shivat Yimei Abinyan, which are the 7 days, Shebahem Nivra Olam, through which the world was created. So it's another emphasis on the concept of creation, which emphasizes the name Elohim, not the name Yudke Bavke. Delefize Yipale Beyoter, and this makes us even more surprised, Madua Mesayim B'Shem Hashem, why does it end off with the name Yudke Bavke, the Tetragrammaton, the Lord? Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Havaya Davka. He called there, or he made other people call on that divine name, Yudke Bavke, the Tetragrammaton, the Lord B'Shem Elohim, and not the name of Elohim with which the world was created. Alright, so it's the same question, but it's just been intensified by looking at the other part of the verse and saying the other part of the verse is also plugging creation. The whole thing is creation. It's communicating creation to them. Why doesn't it say that he taught them about Elohim and not Yudke Bavke? Okay. Now, what follows is a step. It's really 2 steps, or a few steps, for us to broaden our concept of the relationship between the divine and the world. Because at this moment, the way we think about it, and in terms of this diagram over here, is the name Elohim is a divine life force which fills the world. And when we look at the furniture in this room, or the plants, whatever it might be, or, you know, in the garden, or the trees, or mountains, the sky, whatever it is, everything is filled with godliness, but it's filled with godliness from the level Elohim. Higher, beyond the universe, is the name Yudke Bavke. So that's our concept at the moment. Now this is what this discourse is, in a sense, changing. It's broadening our understanding of this relationship. So let's try and see how the discourse puts it. Let's see if we can understand it. Achayinyan hu, but the subject is as follows. Kamuvan mehem shechamayma, as is discussed in that same discourse by the 6th Rebbe. The Masha Katuv Kan Vayikra Hashem B'Shem Hashem, when it says here he called on the name of God, Kai al Bechinat Yudke Vavke Delatata, it's talking about a particular aspect of the name Yudke Vavke. Ah, these Kabbalists, they're always saying there's another aspect. So how does it work? There is a level of Yudke Vavke below, and a level of Yudke Vavke above. The level of Yudke Vavke below encloses itself in the name Elohim. There's also a higher level of Yudke Vavke, which is on a much more exalted level, which is beyond being enclosed in that way, or so it seems at the moment. So we're talking about a kind of progressive approach to the divine. There's the divine filling the universe. Now the idea of the divine filling the universe is not considered a uniquely Jewish perception. The way that Hasidic teachings put this, every sensitive human being can be aware that the divine fills the universe. And in fact, we can say that that is the source of culture and indeed of every kind of religious sensitivity, that the divine fills the universe. That you look at aspects of existence and they express some kind of divine life force. So that's a universal perception. Yudke Vavke, the ineffable name of the divine, which is beyond existence. That's the name of the divine, that's the source of the Torah. That's a kind of a higher level of perception. That's something that Moses was able to communicate. That's something on another level. So when we first read the story about Abraham communicating about God the Creator, we think that he's communicating Elohim, which really every human being can appreciate themselves anyway, or should be able to appreciate. So here it explains that it's the Havaya Dilatata. He is speaking, when it says he made everyone call on the name Yudke Vavke, they're calling on the lower name Yudke Vavke, Hamitlabesh B'Shem Elohim, which is enclosed in the divine name Elohim. The Chidusho Shel Avraham, because this was the special quality, because the special quality of Abraham was Hayav Yikhasham B'Shem Hashem Keil Olam. Now we're moving to the end of the verse. We're now commenting on the end of the verse. He called there on the name of God Keil Olam. Now Keil Olam means God of universe. Is that correct Hebrew? Surely it should be Keil Ha'olam. In the construct, God of the universe. The way you said, the way you say A of B, A of the B, yeah, the man of the house. Ish Habayit, or Baal Habayit. The owner of the house. You have to put in a hey, a definite article. So to say God of the universe, it should really say Keil Ha'olam, the God of the universe. The problem is, if you say God of the universe, you're implying that they're two different things. God and the universe. So what Abraham was teaching was a more profound perception. Keil Olam, that there is nothing apart from God. The universe is an expression of God. Sh'olam ve'elokut, that the universe and godliness, einam shnei dvarim nifchadim, are not two separate things. Ela sh'pa'al yichud Hashem deletata, he achieved a unification of the lower name Yudke Vavke, Hamitlabesh v'shem Elohim livro et olam, which is enclosed in the name Elohim to create the world. So he achieved the unification of that level im ha'olam, with the world itself, so that people would be able to appreciate when they look at the world and they look at the tree or the sky or the stone or the iPad, whatever they're looking at, they don't just see the name Elohim if they're looking spiritually, they see the name Yudke Vavke as well. In other words, they can see within the world, which normally you could say, I mean, look, the first stage is the person only sees an iPad. There's nothing other than an iPad. So then they look in a deeper way, and they see the iPad is fired, is inspired, and is kept in existence, not by Apple, but by the name Elohim. So the name Elohim is making the iPad or the bunch of flowers in the vase. Very pretty flowers. Let's take a look at those flowers. Do you see them move when they were spoken about? They shrugged their shoulders. So those flowers, more obviously than the knife had, I must say. So those flowers express the name Elohim. That's the first level. I mean, no, wait a minute. One level is you just see flowers. The second level is you see that the flowers are there, but the name Elohim is expressed in them, the divine radiance which gives existence to the world, expressed in the divine name Elohim, which has got the numerical value nature. And the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is beyond. But then there's another step, that when you look at the flowers, you see Yud Kei Vav Kei as well. Right? It's a kind of a mind-broadening experience. That suddenly you see a deeper level of godliness. A godliness which is a level of godliness beyond the world, in the world. So these people in Abraham's restaurant must have been stoned out of their mind. What was he giving them? All right. So let's see. Next page. Zion, page Zion. So Abraham is having this effect on the people whom he and Sarah really having the effect together. Obviously they're running this together and they're doing it together, and it says elsewhere, the beginning of last week's Sedra, that Abraham would teach the men and Sarah would teach the women, you know, so they both took out the book of creation and sort of explored its teachings together with the wanderers who had ended up in their restaurant in the desert. Transforming people's consciousness so that now not only did they see the divine radiance Elohim in everything around them, they now saw the divine quality, the transcendent divine quality, Yud Kei Vav Kei, at least the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which descends into the name Elohim. V'hine yadua, now it's known, the Maise Avot Siman Lebanim, that the work of the ancestors is a sign of the patriarchs, is a sign for the children. In other words, whatever Abraham does is really a clue to and an empowerment of us how we should behave. That means that the thing that the... But now, wait a second. The Rebbe is transforming this phrase as well. The normal way that we understand this phrase, that the work of the patriarchs is assigned to the children, it gives a reference in note 14 to a famous comment by in Lech Lecha, in last week's Sedra, by Ramban. Ramban discusses Rav Moshe ben Nachman, who lived in Barcelona in the 13th century. Ramban discusses the question, why does the Torah go into so many details about the practicalities of what the patriarchs did and where they went and stuff like that? It seems, in a sense, secondary to the main theme of the Torah. But then he explains, no, it's very important. Because in fact, these details of what the patriarchs did, they are a sign for what their children would do in the future. And he shows, it kind of links up the different things that Abraham did as being a kind of a sign, what's going to happen to the Jewish people over the next few hundred years, coming out of Egypt, coming into the land of Israel, and different things happening. So it's all somehow hinted at in the actions of Abraham. And he quotes various places in the Tanakh where you have the same kind of idea, that someone does something which hints at what future people are going to do. Now, the Rebbe, I think, is taking this a little bit further by saying that, or maybe this is exactly the same as what Nachmanides is saying, that ha'inyan kafi shaya etzel avot, this issue, this concept, the way it was for the patriarchs, who siman bilvad, is only a sign, it's only a hint. Umizeh naaseh achakach, and from this we get afterwards, eitzel abanim, among the children, ha'inyan b'shleimuto, the whole concept in a more complete form, binyan shalem, in a more, as a whole building, a whole concept. V'cheinu b'inyan zeh. So it is in this matter. The Eitzel Avraham, for Abraham, Hayezeh Rak Bofen the Siman. This was just a sign. V'lo pa'al zeh, he was only able to achieve this, Rak b'vchinat havaya deletata. He was only able to achieve it at the level of the lower name Yudke Vavke. Right? We've got the lower name Yudke Vavke. And there's also, in red, the higher name Yudke Vavke. So Abraham is just, it's a sign, it's a symbol. He is achieving that the people who come into his restaurant in Be'er Sheva, they come out inspired with the lower name Yudke Vavke, not just with the name Elohim creating the world, but even with the lower name Yudke Vavke. Aval al yedei avodat habanim, line 6. But through the service of the children, that's us, ma'aseinu v'avodateinu, our service, po'alim yeterah mizeh, we achieve more than this. We achieve, says the Rebbe, that we enable people to call the name Yudke Vavke not God of the universe, but the unity of God and the universe, Bahavaya de la Ela, with the upper name Yudke Vavke. The al yedei ma'aseinu v'avoteinu, because through our actions and our service, meviyim et ha'geula atida, we bring the future redemption. And what will happen with the future redemption? Sha'az yeh lekut begilu ba'olam. Then godliness will be revealed in the world. O kamo shekatuv, as it's written, v'nigla kvod havaya, that the glory of Yudke Vavke will be revealed, V'ra'u kol basar yachtav, and all flesh will see together. That's in Isaiah. That's a famous phrase about the coming of Mashiach. Shahabasar atzmo, that the flesh itself, yireh et kvod Hashem, will see the glory of God. And v'hainu, and that means, not only the lower Yudke Vavke, not only the name Elohim, which is enclosed in nature normally, and everyone in the world can perceive it. Not only the lower Yudke Vavke, but even Gam Avaya de la Eila, the upper Yudke Vavke. Ad sheyagilu bechinat ein od milvado, until will be achieved that quality of perception. We're talking about changes in perception, which will take place with the redemption. And of course, once you say there's a change of perception which will take place with the redemption, you could say, well, you know what, I'm going to try and get that change of perception now, which is exactly what the Rebbe wanted. The Rebbe wanted us to have a redemptive perception on the universe and on life. So there can be a revelation of what's called Ein Od Milvado. Ein Od Milvado means there's nothing apart from God. But nothing apart from God, it still somehow implies a distinction. That you see the world, and there's God, you're aware of God, and you say, you know what, there's nothing apart from God. The world is really an expression of God. You're still aware of the world. Ulamainam is there, and even higher, Einod, full stop. There's nothing else. There's just God. It's all different levels of seeing existence in relation to God. We're talking about higher and higher levels of perception of God. So it could be that we could say one level is Elohim within the world, and you focus on the Elohim in the world, and that's very inspiring. And then a higher level is Yudke Vavke, the lower Yudke Vavke, and you see that in the world, you see that around you. And that's Einod Milvado, there's nothing apart from God, you can see that Yudke Vavke, you can perceive that Yudke Vavke with your heart, with your soul. And then there's an even higher level, the Yudke Vavke, the higher Yudke Vavke, where it's that absolute infinite oneness, and your eyes itself see it. When you look at the flowers are expressing the infinite oneness of the divine beyond everything, that there's only God. That's Are those flowers? No, everything is just God. It's all godliness. Now, it's a very delicate concept because our concept of the redemption is not that it's a purely spiritual realm. The idea is it remains a physical realm. So what we're really talking about is a kind of interface between the ultimate essence of God, called Atzmut, the essence of God, and the physical world that we're in. And that somehow or other there's a physical world and there's the essence of God. And both, you know, they coexist. They're both there. They're both one. All this will be beyond any kind of limitation. Hachava amitit, a true broadening of everything, broadening of our consciousness, broadening of existence, broadening of our souls. Kamo shekatuv, as it's written, Pchazot teishev Yerushalayim. Now there's a beautiful verse. It's actually part of a popular Jewish song. Prozois teishev Yerushalayim. That Jerusalem will no longer have a wall around it. The wall will be opened up because of the many inhabitants who will dwell in Jerusalem. And so it won't have a wall around it. It'll be many, many suburbs of Jerusalem, as it indeed today is indeed the case. And we consider all the suburbs of Jerusalem as part of Jerusalem. So when it comes to Purim, for example, all the suburbs of Jerusalem, these, you know, Ramot Aleph, Ramot Beit, you know, which are really quite a long way away, but they're all part of Shushan Purim. So halachically, they're all considered Jerusalem. Now, this idea of breaking the walls open is a, I mean, this is fascinating to me. You know, this is a kind of deconstructive concept. You know, that there's a barrier, and the barrier is dissolved away. Yachiv Hashem Elokecha et Gvulcha, and he quotes another verse to the same effect. God will broaden your border. In other words, you have a border, and God will broaden it. Deconstruct the border. Hachava she'en gedola mimena, broadening in a way which is absolutely unlimited. And so it will be also in the Torah. Now, what does it mean, broadening the borders in the Torah? Shiyah gilui lemaila. It'll be a revelation lemaila gam miinin aruka meeretz mida urechava mini yam. Already we say about the Torah that the Torah is larger than the earth and broader than the sea. But in the time of the redemption, there'll be even more than that. Ki arichut v'rachvot zu, because this length and breadth of the Torah, harehi be'erech ha'eretz be'erech hayam, it's as if it's being compared to the earth and compared to the sea. Masha'en kein la'atid lavo, but in the future, it'll be completely different. Yegilui b'chinat ha'Torah milamai l'biyote. There'll be a revelation of Torah which comes from above, which is completely beyond any kind of measure. Kamo shekatuv, as it said, ki kulam yedu oti. All of them, everyone, will know me, God is saying. Oti mamash, God himself. So that's an ultimate dimension of Torah, that everyone will know God. On the last page, atzmuto umahuto yitbarach, God's absolute essence. That'll be revealed in the Torah. Kamaima, as it says, Oti atem lokhim, you are taking me. Stunning concept here. That when a person learns Torah, there's a sense in which God is giving himself to the person. Anochi, the first word of the Ten Commandments, can be made into an acrostic. Ana nafshi, I am giving myself. Ktavit Yahavid, I am writing myself down and giving it to you, to each one of us. God gives himself to us. And here it's saying that God is giving him his essence to us. And in every word of the Torah, whatever it is that we read in the Torah, it's got this stunning revelation, this infinite, boundless revelation of God in his infinite essence. So here we have what's really, it's a brief discourse, but it's fascinating what it's saying. That there we have Abram and Sarah running this restaurant. And they are communicating the idea of godliness to everyone, as the Gemara tells us in Sutta. And then comes the idea, what aspects of godliness are they communicating? Are they communicating just the way that God created the world? The way it says, let's take it without Sefer Yetzirah, without the Book of Creation. Just the idea God created the world. That's wonderful. You taught people that the world doesn't exist by itself, that it's God who's created. And that means that you should be bonded to God and you should obey God. God gives the seven Noahide laws, so everyone's going to keep them. Then comes deeper dimensions. There's Sefer Yetzirah, the spirituality of existence. The Maimah, this discourse doesn't mention Sefer Yetzirah. I'm just adding that as a kind of extra comment which fits with the subject. So there's Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation, telling us about the Elohim, the godliness in the world. But then we can take it to a higher level. They're not just learning about the godliness in the world, they're learning about the godliness beyond the world, and that's also in the world. And that's what Abraham achieved. And then says the Rebbe to us, we are also able to do that, and not just to the level of the godliness of the lower level Yudke Bavke, but even the higher level Yudke Bavke, which is the real essence of godliness. So we're able to take the whole thing to an even higher level. And I must say, reading this discourse, it occurred to me that by 1987, when this discourse was said, there were basically Chabad houses all over the world. It was in the early 1980s that the Rebbe asked that Chabad houses should be made. And I remember then, in this country, we began increasing the number of Chabad houses that there are. And so it was in many places. And so there are far more now than there were then. But this, and the basic theme of most Chabad houses is exactly that. It's like a place, keep people coming on a Friday night, and it's a beautiful atmosphere. And once the person running the Oxford Chabad house, Shmuel Batech, many years ago, he was running the Oxford Chabad house. He asked me to come and give a talk. What will the world be like in the time of Mashiach? So I said to him, I don't know what the world will be like in the time of Mashiach. He said, look, you've got to do research and give a talk on what the world will be like in the time of Mashiach. So I thought about it and I came along, and there in his Chabad house, it was very kind of mixed, all kinds of different people, and some are Jewish and some are not Jewish, all kinds of people. I said, you know what the world will be like in the time of Mashiach? It'll be like this Chabad house. He was very taken by it. a completely spiritual domain where all kinds of opposites connect. And so that's really what the Rebbe is saying. You know, he's saying to people who are running these Chabad houses where there's, and homes, like this home here, where there's tremendous hospitality, Baruch Hashem. And that is something which is in intensely spiritual. And through that hospitality, there's a tremendous awareness of the divine. Not just the divine within the world, like in the flowers, but the lower level of the name Yudke Vavke, and even the higher level of the name Yudke Vavke, the essence of God, of the divine. And now we come to the last paragraph. V'hi rotzon, may be the will of God. Shal yedei adibu b'chol inyanim elu. That through speaking about all these things, navo lekiyum kol zeh b'foil, that we should come to keep it all in practical action. V'chamuva b'mayma, as it says in the saying, Sham, in the discourse that he's quoting from Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, Magid varav li Yaakov, chukav u'mishpatav li Yisrael. God speaks his words to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. That what Mashahu oseh omel Yisrael lasot. What God himself does, he tells the Jewish people to do. So in other words, that it's something which is happening that not only we are doing it, but God is also doing it. And what does it mean that God is also doing it? Shetekeh fumiyad mamash. That immediately, yekayim inyan zeh, we should be able to, or he, God, will keep this concept. V'chiyachiv Hashem elekeched gvulcha, when God broadens your borders, shetia eretz sheva amamin, that it'll be the land of the seven nations, v'eretz etz amamin, and the land of the ten nations, in other words, the greater land of Israel, v'chein yegam b'Yisrael, and then not only the land, but also the Jewish people themselves, uvatorah, and in the Torah, shetia hashleimut hamushleshet, it should be a triple wholeness. Shleimut haTorah, the wholeness of Torah, that means the Torah understand in its deepest levels, as he mentioned before, Oti atem lokhim, we are taking God. Va'am Yisrael, and the deepest aspect of the Jewish people themselves, the whole Jewish people keeping Torah properly. Ve'eretz Yisrael, and the whole land of Israel. V'chuli, etc. Va'atem teluktu le'echad echad b'nei Yisrael. And you, now this is a verse from Tanakh, you will be picked out one by one, house of Israel. What does that mean? That when Mashiach comes, all kinds of Jews who didn't realize they were Jewish before, but actually they are. It's a child of a Jewish woman who didn't know she was Jewish, who's the child of a Jewish woman going back, several generations, suddenly you realize this person is Jewish, and that person realizes it. So it'll be realized who you are. Kol Yisrael shebemeshech kol adorot, including the whole Jewish people through all the generations. And that means not only the people now who are alive who don't realize they're alive, but all the people who died. Ukmo shekatuv, as it's written, hakitzu v'rannu shochne afa, wake up and sing, you who dwell in the dust. It says in the book of Daniel, the whole concept of Tchiyat HaMeitim, Isaiah, not in Daniel, the whole concept of the revival of the dead, the Hainu Kol Yisrael shebemeshech kol adorot, the whole Jewish people through all the generations, Unesido Reina b'Torcham v'Rosham, and the Rebbe speaking about the previous Rebbe, that he will be among them, over Rosham, and he will be leading them, and their material goods, silver and gold, will be with them. Whether in a spiritual sense, now what's the spiritual sense of silver and gold? Ahavat Hashem ve'yirat Hashem. Love of God and fear of God. I think the silver is love, because the word kesef can also mean yearning, and the gold is fear of God. So that's the spiritual silver and gold. Ve'heim begashmir, and also in physical terms, kipshuto, literally. That means that it'll be a physical world, and there'll be plenty, and everyone will be happy. There'll be the Jewish people, there'll be non-Jewish people keeping the seven Noahide laws. It'll be a world of peace. There won't be any crime. There won't be any war. And there won't be any illness. The whole of existence will be transformed. V'od v'hu ha'ika, and especially, shiyeh kol zeh lemata me'asarat tfachim, this should all be in the real world, below 10 tfachim. 10 tfachim is 10 handbreadths. It means here in the real world, in the present. V'od v'hu ha'ika, and especially, Sheyeh zeh tekef u'miyad mamash, that should be immediately now.